Hey, you're listening to the Winnipeg Music Project, where music making matters. I'm your host, Ashley Bienyej. Each episode features interviews with local music makers in hopes to connect the vibrant Winnipeg music scene with listeners like you. Through stories of songwriting, album releases, and touring, listen to the unique journeys of local artists who love what they do. To the Winnipeg Music Project on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Ashley Bienyej, your host. Today I'm here with Paige Drobot.
Hey.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah, it is.
Robot.
With a D.
I was like, maybe I should have asked before we started recording.
It's all good.
You've been on the show before.
Yeah.
Previously as The Psychics.
Yeah.
And now you are releasing as a solo.
Yeah,
artist.
It's my first solo album where I played everything and produced it myself. And
Oh, really?
Yeah. I recorded it in my house and I did everything except mastering. I sent it away to Montreal. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. How do you get into producing it? Like, how did you get into that?
Well, I got my first, like, well, when I was a really little kid, there would be like, we'd have to do band tests at school. And if they would take these take home band tests, so I would take my little tape recorder out of the library and record my band test in 5 minutes and then start recording my songs on there. And then when I was about 12 years old, my parents got me for my birthday, like my first little USB recording thing. And I started just doing like, there's a few of my own songs, but a lot of like just really elaborate cover songs with doing all the parts and all that stuff and trying to mix it that way. And then I didn't really do any recording. Like I put that thing in a box when I went to music school and it didn't come out again until I was about 22, 23. And then started making this record and recording stuff again. That feels good.
Yeah. So, and why did you decide to do like a solo thing? Because you'd been in bands previously.
Yeah. Well, The Psychics weren't really learning any of my new tunes at that point in time. And So I just had I was writing so many songs at the time, and I was filtering them off into different bands, like the Vangoras and stuff. And there was some that just didn't fit with any of them. So I thought, well, maybe this is a new thing. And what if I just try to do it all myself? Because then it'll get done on my time. You know what I mean?
You're the only one accountable.
Yeah, exactly. You have to get it done. It's amazing what you can get done when you don't have to organize any people.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, I am. Man, I have no excuse. So let's, before we talk about the album and the solo career path that you've chosen, I know we had talked about it on the show when you were on previously, but just as a refresher, how did you get involved in music? What instruments do you play? Like, what kind of sound do you like to make when you're playing music?
Totally. So I've been playing guitar since I was about 10 years old, and like I've probably known since I was about 5 that I wanted to be a musician. Like, I would always get into these really embarrassing kind of performance situations. You know, I wanted to sing at every single thing. And I've always had a bit of a weird voice, right? So it never really caught on that way. And then I started playing guitar because I desperately wanted to. My dad played guitar. Him and my mom would always play in the evenings. And my mom would sing and he would play. And then I just started basically joining in by watching his fingers. And then quickly, and much to my dad's jealousy at the time, like, I got better than him, and then I would play all the little lead parts for him, and then that was awesome. We'd be doing like Guns N' Roses and stuff like that. Oh, awesome. Right? And Blind Melon, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then I just kept playing, and that's all I wanted to do. So I would come home from school and play till I went to bed. And then I was able to move to Winnipeg at 18 to study jazz guitar, and I'm so glad that I was able to get out of my town that way, because not even for the music education, but just to get into the scene and be able to play in bands in Winnipeg and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I play guitar, and but on this record, I played just about everything except the drums and the flute.
Well, I mean, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I played flute in middle school, and that, like, I can't even imagine trying to learn that just for an album.
Oh, God.
So did you go to school for jazz guitar? Like, what was the plan?
Well, the plan was, good question, eh? Because I don't think I ever was going to be a jazz musician. I enjoyed jazz band in high school and went to all the little camps and all that stuff. And it was just challenging music to play. And I wanted to play with the best. I find that if you play with people who are way better than you, then you have to work harder. So I wanted to play just the most challenging thing I could find, I guess. At the time, I was quite cocky as a kid, you know what I mean? And I've kind of gone in the opposite way. Kind of realized that I have my own voice and my own vocabulary, and if I, you know, am being myself, then it doesn't come out as jazz, because that's just not what I was raised, like, growing up listening to. So that's not my voice.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I met a lot of artists who go into the faculty of jazz or classical, and I'm like, yeah, I don't really make that kind of music, but it's really programs in Winnipeg.
Right. It's kind of cool. I've heard that Brandon is switching to like a pop program. Rumor that I heard, yeah, which makes sense, because so many of the musicians who are coming out of there are playing in indie bands, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I think they just kind of realize, like, this is what we're actually doing for people, so yeah, let's just call it what it is, right?
Yeah, it's like there's a demand,
yeah, and like with the way things are going, like, how many kids are getting into jazz as the young, like, you know what I mean? Probably not enough to support a whole program, right? And what's the point of, I'm too much of like a, I was never, even when I was a kid in high school, you know what I mean? I don't do well with like authority, you know what I mean? So I've always like, I hate proving stuff to people, right? So like, and I hate faking it. So I just thought, like, you know, I can't fake it for all these years and then start my life, you know?
Mm-hmm. So when did you start writing music?
Oh gosh, when I was just a little kid. I think I probably wrote my first song when I was about 14, but same with my recording, it kind of took a backseat when I was doing the jazz guitar thing. And then
and what kind of music were you writing at the beginning?
It was very like Nirvana or something like that. Like, that was my hero when I was a kid, Nirvana, and like, I wanted to be Courtney Love when I grow up, kind of thing. Like, the great role models available for women these days, like, you know what I mean? Like, how many rock, like, you know? Yeah. I had the choice. I could be Joan Jett, I could be you know, there it is. But then I started writing more when I was, after I was finishing my first year of school, and just that's all I've liked to do ever since, you know.
Mm-hmm. And after you started your first year of school, did you notice how it was influencing?
Totally. Yeah, actually, like, the first songs that I was writing coming out of there were probably, like, more complex than they needed to be, right? And then it wasn't the most fluid kind of vocal melodies because the chords were too wild and all that. And I've kind of, in the last few years, like, I got really big into, like, the 70s songwriters, Carole King and Cat Stevens, nice. All that kind of stuff, awesome. Right? Janis Ian. And so just kind of, like, went back to my roots of growing up. I thought, like, this isn't who I am. Who I am is sometimes farmer chords with the twist, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, cool. Yeah, I like that. So then how would you describe, The Psychics was pretty interesting, and I loved it. Very, you never know where you're going to get kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you describe this sound on this new solo project?
Totally. Well, it's kind of similar to The Psychics, but almost more of a condensed version of it, right? It's still kind of got that prog rock thing where it's the songs have all these different parts and sections and genres all mixed in together, but it's a lot smaller and kind of like I'm able to get my ideas out in a more concise way now.
Okay.
awesome. So, just a little more poppy and less, just a little bit less of that prog kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
So if someone stopped you in an elevator and said, well, what kind of music do you make? How would you describe it?
That's the hardest thing, yeah. Right? That's the hardest thing. Just rock music, you know, like a very kind of retro 70s psychedelic rock music, but I don't know.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's so hard. Like that's the thing right now, trying to do any kind of press or any kind of just trying to book shows on tour there. What do you sound like?
It's like, I don't know.
I sound like me. Yeah, right? Like, and everyone's like, everybody sounds like them, yeah, you know?
Right? It's like, well, listen to it and
And like with some projects that I've been in, like Vangora's, when I was writing songs for them, they had a very specific sound in mind, and I would write for that sound, right? Whereas with my own music, I try not to put any limits on that and just write whatever I want to. Mm-hmm. And then so you have songs that are all kinds of different styles.
Right. Sorry, I'm making a note. And yeah, I'm trying no to remember problem. What I was going to say. But where do you draw your influences from songwriting?
Probably the biggest is David Bowie. Cool. And then the thing with Bowie is he's written all kinds of songs as well, right? Bowie, and then I like John Frusciante a lot as well. And same deal, he's done every kind of record in his career. And I think it's neat when you can still tell it's them, even though they're doing all these different kind of styles.
Right.
I like unique voice.
Yeah, I wish it was more accepted to be able to experiment with all of these,
totally,
these different like flavors. Like I just recently read Buffy St. Marie's autobiography, and she's like doing all these interesting like electronic and like rock, and it was like jarring to her fans, and like with David Bowie, like why can't artists experiment,
yeah,
and be artists?
I don't know. I think people are so set in their ways, right? And then mm-hmm. they like a certain thing, whereas like I'm such a song by song basis that if it's a good song, I don't care what style it is, you know? If it right. makes me feel, it makes me feel.
Mm-hmm. And when you're writing, does this feeling come first, or do the lyrics come? How does a song inspire you to get started?
Yeah, a little bit different all the time. Sometimes I'll have a set of chords. Sometimes I'll be driving in my car and come up with a vocal melody, and then I have to go home and put it to chords. That's one thing, I guess, with like, you know, the academic stuff is just having the background to when you're short a chord and you hear the melody, be able to put it to it or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's one thing that I guess I didn't have when I was a kid. I really followed the chords rather than had the vocal melody and was able to put the chords around it.
Yeah.
But it could be anything. Someone that made me mad, something that made me happy, or just something silly. I don't know, all kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. And do you take how do you know when an idea is something that you want to actually pursue, or is it everything you treat equally?
That's hard. If I can still remember it the next day, then it's probably an okay one, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I'm not one, I don't do a lot of demos. A lot of people, every time they write something, they record it on their phone, and then they have like 500 songs on there, but then they drop their phone and it's all gone, you know what I mean?
Right.
So if it doesn't kind of stick with me, then I forget about it.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. I always hear how people will have voice memos, and it's just like, I've started accumulating like hundreds and hundreds. And
yeah.
Like, are these just forgotten things that are going to take up space on my phone now?
Yeah. Like, I've had friends be so heartbroken when they've lost all theirs. And I'm like, well, what ones do you remember? Maybe work on those, right?
Yeah. If they're that memorable, there's right. probably potential.
Right, exactly.
Right. So these four songs on this EP, which is called Zero Thought.
Yeah.
How did you choose these four out of all, like you said, that you're constantly creating content? Why these four did you work on?
Oh, that's so hard. I felt that they had a similar theme in the lyrics and just emotionally when I was writing them. They all came from a very similar time. And I thought that they just kind of fit together that way. And they're also the ones that I started working on, you know. I've got I kind of group whenever I have kind of just like I file them in different spots, you know what I mean? And there's a couple more that I could have filed into this kind of thing, and maybe I'll release them as singles along the way. But I got the next ones are more of like a 60s girl group kind of thing, and cool. just kind of file them all over the place and send songs to bands as needed. And that's these ones. I thought only I could, like, I didn't want anyone to help me with these ones, you know?
Right. These ones are your babies.
Yeah, exactly.
And so there's like kind of like an overarching theme. What would you say the theme is for these four?
Kind of just they're a lot of like just growing up, like finding yourself, kind of knowing, seeing the patterns in your life that you have with relationships, like even friends and bandmates, all that kind of thing. And just kind of, it's like a weird, like, turn 25 and you think you know who you are now, you know what I mean? And you look back on it, it's just like, yeah, that's how I am, and I'm okay with that, and I don't need any of you if you don't like it, kind of thing.
Right, yeah, kind of just like a self-acceptance.
Exactly, yeah, just yeah. like a, yeah. Like, with a lot of bands, I try to stay away from, like, try to keep things quite vague and unpersonal, but I just said what I felt on this one.
So this one's more like the true page.
Yeah.
and why, if you were trying to be more vague in previous projects, how did this come, like, how do you know that now I'm ready to be personal and share that with others?
I think part of it is just not having any other people working on it with you, you know what I mean? Okay. It's harder to be emotionally vulnerable when you're in a room with some other guys playing instruments or whatever, right? Or when they're singing with you, you don't want to say anything about them. You don't want to say, like, all that kind of stuff, right? Like, I really got to watch it because people take things really personally.
Yeah.
Even with one of the songs in there, I had pitched it to the psychics at one time. They're like, stop writing sad songs about me. I'm like, yeah, you're so vain.
That's funny. And so then, yeah, so you're alone and you get to actually experience this emotion and work through it.
Yeah.
That is extremely vulnerable and sometimes difficult. How are you okay to share that with others?
Because I grew up, you know, remember when you're like a little hormonal kid and music, like, they were singing right to you and you felt that, you know what I mean? Those are the artists, like, the emotionally vulnerable artists are the ones that I've always really liked. So I thought, I could do that, and maybe somebody else could do it too, you know what I mean? And just want to connect with people.
Right. Awesome.
So this being, like, honest.
Yeah, so this is like finally the project where you can truly be yourself.
Yeah.
And sing what you, like, what's deep
yeah, exactly.
Inside. Oh, I love that. That's awesome. So you've chose these four songs that mean a lot to you, that have this overarching theme. You said that you have, like, different kind of, like, pockets of why this specific pocket? Like, why didn't you do the girl band first?
I would like to play the drums on those ones. And I need to practice a little bit first.
Fair enough.
That kind of thing. And just it just worked out that those were the ones that I was ready to record at the time that I wanted to, needed right. to, you know?
Yeah, they were ready. And you're like,
they were ready, and this is the project. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So was it ever in your mind that you were going to maybe go to a studio or work with other people to create it? Like, why was it so important for you to do it on your own?
I think just because it was an opportunity to, when you're playing in a band with people, especially like things like the Psychics, we really gotta, for that band, it works best when we record live from the floor and everybody's in the room at the same time. And I have a hard time getting people in the room at the same time. So these ones also worked out really well that I could build them, piece by piece on my own. And I just wanted to try it. I just wanted some control in my life.
Right.
Especially with the theme of these songs. It's all about just, yeah, getting control, you know, knowing who you are. And so, yeah, just a bit of control freak on it. Mm-hmm. I went full control freak.
Perfect. Awesome. We need more of that.
Yeah.
So you have this album being released through Transistor 66.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Transistor 66.
Nice. Which is a record company here, located here. And is it, are they located
in Winnipeg?
Here?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that process like? Is this the first time this has happened?
Well, I played lead guitar on Marshall Birch's record, which was put out on Transistor 66. And also the Vangoras were signed to them as well. So when I was telling my friends that I was recording these songs, they were like, well, you've been on Transistor 66 before. You should ask him, because he quite often will, it's a very family oriented, like family kind of label, like where he supports these people through all their different projects and all that stuff. So it kind of gave me the confidence to send him my stuff. And then he said he would put it out, which kind of blew my mind, because I don't know if I particularly fit with the sound on the label and all that kind of thing. But he's just so nice that Art would put it out for me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I'm excited.
I'm so excited for you. That's so wonderful. So for people who are listening who may not know what's the benefit of having a record label behind you, how is this helping you? Why would someone want to go to Transistor 66?
Totally. Well, first of all, the support of other bands who are on the label for shows, especially when you're traveling, because he has bands all throughout Western Canada and some in the States, and actually now he's got band in Germany and Paris and all that kind of stuff. And it's just a kind of this network that you can tap into of other musicians and all that. And then he also, like, I don't work outside of music and teaching guitar lessons. So I don't really have I can't really afford an expensive hobby right now. You know what I mean? I'm not looking to make any money. I just can't afford an expensive hobby.
Yeah.
And so the fact that he was able to support me in making this project is just, it's amazing. You know, like I needed that help.
Right. Yeah. And to have that support kind of like validates it a little bit.
Totally. Yeah.
It's excited, makes it even possible.
Oh yeah.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to one of the songs on the album. When we come back, I actually want to talk about maybe the lyrics and Sweet. A little bit more about like the upcoming tour and everything this summer.
Sweet.
Everyone who's listening, stay tuned. This is the Winnipeg Music Project on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Ashley Bignes, your host. I'm here with Paige Drobot. We're going to listen to She's Going Down from the album Zero Thoughts, which is a cover of Johnny Sizzle.
Yes, my hero.
Yeah, do you want to actually quickly talk about him before we
Sure. Johnny Sizzle is Martin Howell, and he is like a Canadian punk rock legend. He's just the songwriter who touches my heart, and a character who, like, he's the best entertainer that I've ever seen. And I wanted to play this song because it really spoke to me. He has a lot of songs that are quite silly, you know what I mean? Like, he's quite a comedian as well. But this particular one, and I ended up talking to him about it after, it was just, it struck a real emotional chord, and he's very vulnerable in it. And I think he recorded at the right time where you can really hear it in his voice as well. So I thought it was such a beautiful song, and that it would be neat from a woman's voice as well.
Mm-hmm. And it obviously fit in with
it
the rest
worked.
Of it.
Yeah, so it fit in with everything. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Good. I look forward to hearing it. So this is Paige Drobot. Her CD release party of Zero Thought is going to be on June 7th at the Cavern. $10 at the door.
Yeah.
Which is open at 9:30. She'll be playing with Man Candy and
Ponema.
Right. So stay tuned. We're going to talk more about the music behind Paige Drobot.
No one ever treated me nice. And if there were good times, then that would be suffice. When she went out in the down, down, down. Start pushing away, down, 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 down. She's pushing away, down, 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 down. She's pushing away, down, 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 down. She's pushing away.
Project on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Ashley Bienyaj. I'm still here with Paige Drobot.
Hey.
I feel like I say it different every time.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry. Drobot.
Have you ever seen Futurama?
Of course.
Yes. Okay. And you know like Zoidberg?
Yeah.
Okay. Whenever he says like robot, like robot as robot, and I hear it, I'm like, I was watching it one time and I was like, oh my gosh, that's the actual pronunciation of my name. Like that's how I remember my grandpa saying it when I was a kid, right? Yeah. Like with the very Ukrainian... Robert.
Robert.
But that's not how my parents taught me to say it or anything like English that. But sense, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm related to Zoidberg.
Yeah, I remember when I was younger, I just tell everyone, my last name is Bienyaj. And then I don't know how I was maybe like 12 or 13. I'm like, wait, that's not how you pronounce it. That's not how my dad says it. What am I doing? So I get that. It's like a culture shock. Like,
yeah.
A second. I totally get that. So before... the break, it's kind of a break, it's a short break, well not for the listeners because it was amazing 6 minute long song which was She's Going Down from your album Zero Thoughts, which is being released on June 7th at the Cavern with Man Candy and Ponyma.
Yeah.
I'll get it by the end. Like Ponyma,
yes. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe we both have it wrong.
Sorry.
I asked them, but I like, because I went on one, when I did Witch Police, I was like, you know what, I don't know if I pronounced that right. So I shot them like a Facebook message.
Yeah.
And of course they're like, they type it back to me with like the emphasis and stuff. And yeah. I still don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like, oh, it's okay.
Okay. Well, they'll have to come on the show and settle it.
Yes.
And they're like, thanks, Paige Drubit, and say your name wrong intentionally. So we'll make it even. So... we actually opened the show at the very beginning with the single Wonder. Can you talk about what inspired that song and what is the meaning behind the lyrics?
Okay, so that one is like just about, well, really like going with the flow and with where life takes you and just kind of knowing that it all works out if you just ride it or whatever, right? Like it's a lot about fate and like one lyric is, fate is choosing what is happening to you, or it doesn't matter what you think or what you do. Just kind of, yeah, it's a good excuse, eh, for all of them. Oh yeah, no, it's just fate. Yeah, yeah. I'm not a jerk, you know. But yeah, and then there's just not a lot of lyrics, honestly, and then it goes into a big long guitar solo. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, it's just kind of, what is it, it takes a lifetime to know your worth. And you make the most of your time on earth, like that kind of stuff. Very rhymey.
Yeah, no, I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Thank you.
Perfect rhyme. Was that perfect rhyme?
I don't know. I'm no poet.
Yeah.
I don't know the rules.
Right. Yeah. You don't need the rules.
Yeah.
With poetry, right?
Yeah.
Are there rules with poetry?
Probably.
Someone listening.
There probably are. Yeah.
Like, yeah. There's like a whole textbook.
I studied it for 10 years.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, my apologies. Respect.
Right. You think musicians would know that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All the lyric writing that they do. I have some poetry books. Maybe I should just... Nah, whatever. I'm overthinking it, as usual. So do you believe in fate?
Yeah. I believe in... Yeah, like, I'm not religious or anything, but everything happens for a reason, and it all works out, and it's all just taking you to your final yourself, you know what I mean? And I don't regret anything really in my life. It's all just made me me, and sometimes it's been hard, sometimes it's been fun, but like even down to like, I guess another theme of the album would be like, I have like mental illness, right? Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed as bipolar when I was about 18 and tried to do the whole medication thing, but I found that it kind of leveled me out too much. Right. I like the manic aspects of things. That's when I get stuff done. I like staying up all night writing, and I like the no filter aspect of things. And I found that I was just, it's worth the down times for the high times. So I just am able to manage my mental health by checking in on myself and all that kind of thing. Just that kind of thing. Everything happens for a reason, and I am this way, and if I can deal with it and use it for my benefit, then that's great.
Right. Yeah. I completely respect and understand like where you're coming from. Like if medication changes you, and it's like, it's scary. Like, who are you becoming?
Yeah, it was great. I wasn't sad as often, but I also wasn't like that crazy page. And
yeah,
sometimes I need that, you know, gets me into trouble sometimes, but it also gives me creativity.
Mm-hmm. And I love what you said, like the highs are definitely like worth like the down. And I think that's important. Especially someone who suffers from depression, you have to remember that like it's a flow. It's temporary. Yeah. It's not that nothing should be constant.
Yeah, exactly. And once you kind of know that's that, and it's not your fault, and it's not forever, then you can kind of deal with it more, and you can recognize like, I'm just this way right now because my brain needs this or whatever, right? Mm. And it's not going to be like this forever, and I'll be up again soon. So, and it is worth it, and I'm not down as often anymore because after realizing that, you know?
Right. Oh, awesome. I love it. So we'll move on to, we'll just transition from that. Sure. I love it. Do you want to keep talking?
No, it's all good.
just because I want to talk a little more about songwriting. Mm. As a struggling songwriter, I just love to pick your brain. So Get Over It is the song we're going to be ending with today in a little bit. What is that song about?
That one is about, in my life, I have this weird thing where I cycle through friends. Like, ever since I was a small kid, like, I don't have many friends that I've been, there's no kid that I went to kindergarten with that I still talk to. Nothing like that. Yeah, you know what I mean? Same. Like, I just kind of cycle through, and just about getting over it, moving on, shedding stuff, and understanding that's the way I am. And every once in a while you meet these people who you do stick with for a long time, but it's good in a sense because I've had lots of different friends, and I feel like I can talk to lots of people but don't have too many too close. And it's about get over it. It doesn't matter. This is the way I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And why did you decide to write about that, and going back to the vulnerability? Yeah.
Well, I was finding like a lot of this, I think that when you're like a strong person, when something's going, this is what I found, and one of the reasons that I have lost so many friends in my life is when something's not happening in their life that they let, like something's wrong, like they're not happy with their situation, people can tend to like blame you for it, even though you haven't done anything wrong. And then all of a sudden there's this huge animosity and kind of like a jealousy, they start to blame all their problems on you. And like one of the lyrics is like, look through my eyes, see the situation I see. Like if you saw it from the other side, like I haven't done anything to you. Right. I don't know. And that's just like something that I didn't realize till in the last couple years, but it just happened so many times that it's a cycle, and you start to realize, okay, this is just what is happening. And through talking to other people, they're like, no, they're probably just threatened or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry you have to go through that.
It's okay.
Yeah, but and now you get to make money off of it.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
With the song, so totally worth it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully. I am sorry that you have to go through that, but you seem very mindful and very self-aware, and I think that's the most important thing, to be able to step back and kind of look at the situation, see the positives and the negatives, and how you can make the best of it.
Like I'm super laid back, and if someone doesn't want to be my friend anymore, then see you later. Like I'm not heartbroken,
right?
Oh, it'll go on, you know. Yeah. Like I you learn that people who really care about you would never get upset about something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's 6 billion people in the world.
Exactly. Yeah, we're all so small. That's the other thing. Like, another theme of the record is just like the minusculeness of each person's life. And like, I remember when I was a kid, I'd be like, I wonder what animals are thinking about. Like, they must have a whole life in there. And like, or what about this guy's, like, all these, like, I've always been really aware of the fact that like what's going on in my own head is so small compared, because everybody has their whole situation.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that too. And I'm like, I wonder what that person's thinking about. Or like, what's their life like? Or,
and like, to save my dog. Like, do you miss your mom? Like,
I'm your mom now.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. So to transition again, you've written this last song, An Ending. I'm sure it's not the ending. No. There's going to be many more songs and much more music coming from Paige. But what inspired this song?
It comes from the exact same theme. That one is running away again, decided that I've got no friends, never as hard as it seems like it will be.
Right.
And I've always known how to leave. No, I've been here before. Same. It's just kind of like, this doesn't hurt me. I'll find a new thing, you know, because I've got myself.
Right. So I love that they do all have this important, vulnerable theme that it obviously means a lot to you. But kind of going back to the David Bowie thing, have you ever thought of creating like a concept album?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, totally. Having like a track, totally. Like
a story. Yes,
definitely. So much like. Oh yeah, I have. Yep, but we'll see.
Yeah, what stopped you? Is it just
what stopped me? Wanting to do a really good job of it. I'd like to get a little bit better at production and stuff like that before I tackle something, because the concept albums that I love are so like high. Like, I love like Rick Wakeman and stuff like that, right? Yeah, and I just haven't been writing that kind of like long songs lately.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be like, that's right up the psychic's alley.
Yeah, right. Have you thought about just like taking the songs you've already written and then like putting them in an order that, to kind of tell a story?
Oh yeah, I think they kind of are. Like this record kind of, it does have that kind of a vibe to it.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. I don't know if I did it on purpose, but now that I think about it.
Oh, cool. Great. Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
A realization.
It's a concept album. Yeah. Let's just call it.
Yeah, concept album. 4 songs, super concise, like a novella.
Yes.
Easy to read. Yes. Perfect. So you're going to be taking this completed project that you've been working so hard on tour this summer.
Yeah, just a little one. We're going to go to Calgary on July 11th and Edmonton on July 12th and Saskatoon on July 13th. Just a little baby tour.
Lovely. I love it. You said we.
Yeah, I put a band together to play this music. I had been playing solo, like doing solo shows for years, kind of like whenever my band couldn't get together and someone offered me a show, I would just take it solo or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then for these songs, the instrumentation was so heavy that when I would play them in my solo set, it just seemed so empty. Like, there's so many backing vocals and things like that. That I thought, you know, I need a band.
But does the emptiness add to the
Oh, it might.
Theme?
I know.
But I get what you're saying.
I'm not saying I won't ever play solo again.
Yep.
This is a very point A to point B band to just to promote this record, right, and kind of be able to give people an idea of what's actually on the record.
For sure. So who's in the band?
Okay. Adam and Derek from Confucia are playing lead guitar and drums. And then my childhood friend Ian Powell's playing bass. We grew up in Morden playing together. They probably know Ian. I think he's been on the show. Yeah.
That name is very familiar.
He plays in Amadians and Love Tongues and Speed Demon. Well, I guess not anymore.
Okay.
But yeah.
Maybe we're friends on Facebook. That's why I like that name.
I know. Yeah, no, we grew up together. So it's like the first time we played together in 10 years. And it's nice. When you're doing a project like this, you need to have people who are close to you, you know, so that you can be that vulnerable.
Right.
And then I also got Marshall Birch playing keyboards and singing backup vocals as well. I just love playing with him. He's so fun, such a great energy.
Oh, awesome.
Kind of like takes these songs that are so serious and he feels them, but like he's having so much fun that it doesn't weigh on you as heavily emotionally to do it.
Right. And I love it. So you got this close-knit
band
of bandits. You're going to go to
just west a little west, bit. Yeah.
Direction is that? It's still early.
It is early.
I'm not really thinking. Why these cities?
Well, the label has a good Western Canada reach, I thought. And I just wanted to do cities kind of more like Winnipeg, you know what I mean? Just a small little guy. So I think if I were to go east, I might just jump in and go by myself to save costs or whatever. This is a big camping trip here, this one, basically.
Right. Yeah,
I would go further, but like I said, I don't have very, I can't afford an expensive hobby.
Not at the moment.
No.
Soon though, right?
Yeah, hopefully, soon. Yeah.
After this.
And also, like, if people don't, there's not, like, even with this tour, it's not like, it's better to go places once there's demand for you there, you know what I mean? Whereas this one's just kind of get my feet wet and get out of the city. Right. People probably don't know who I am there, and I don't know who's going to come to the show, but then I can say I went, I guess, you know what
right.
I mean? And then maybe go somewhere else, right?
Yeah, it's nice, like, resume builder.
Yeah.
You get the experience. You get to practice playing the music in different cities.
Totally. So. And I've also done the overexpose yourself in Winnipeg thing with many bands playing every weekend or whatever, right? So, and I know that when you play all the time, that's when you get really good by playing lots of shows, but I don't want to do them all here.
Right, yeah. And once you start are playing often, maybe the people won't come as often. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, she'll be here next
week. Exactly. Although the psychics, we thought maybe people were coming because we play too often, but now we barely play and people still don't come. It doesn't matter. It's an acquired taste.
Yeah, I love
the
it.
The thing with nerds, when you're nerds and you're making music for nerds, nerds don't go out.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, do I? No.
Yeah, it's hard to convince them to you know, get out of the comfort of their.
Yeah, and I don't blame them because it's hard to convince me too.
Right, for sure. I get that. Speaking from experience, so what are your plans with the music and the solo project? What do you hope to achieve?
I just want
a perfect world.
Yeah, I just want to be able to. Would be great to put a record out every year. I get the summers off from teaching, so I'm hoping that after I get back from this tour to record another one. And next year is going to be kind of busy for me. I took on a pretty exciting lead guitar project. I got asked to play with Mise en Scene.
Congratulations.
I know.
Wow.
So I don't know where we're going, but I hope might get to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I might get to do something cool in the next year. So
right.
So trying to get some stuff done before that, and then hopefully release another record next year.
Yeah, and then you'll have all these new experiences.
Exactly. That'll be a test of the nerves.
Yeah. Get have all this like this new content to
totally
fuel into your music.
Yeah, yeah.
A concept album right there. There you go. So, I don't know. Maybe not. I can't.
For
imagine.
You. I'll make one for you.
I'll play the keys on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Shoot. Yeah.
I'm totally down for that. I'd love that. So where can people listen to this music and find you other than the show that's happening on June 7th at the Cavern?
Well, I dropped off a bunch of CDs all over town. Like, they're at not Music Trader, Into the Music, and in the mall at Sunrise, which was really crazy for me because when I was a kid, I used to like go to the mall on band trips and save all my money to buy CDs, and there wasn't nobody from Morden in the mall.
Yes.
And I'm there now. I'm like, yes,
congratulations.
And on Bandcamp, SoundCloud, I think. The record label will probably get it up on iTunes and Spotify and all that kind of stuff. But I'm very lucky. I just sit back and watch.
Awesome. And where can people follow you on social media?
I'm on Facebook and Instagram, just under my name, Paige Drobot. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you so
I
much.
I look forward to your album release. I guess CD release. CD album doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's a CD, but it's an EP. I'm very lucky that it got printed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so exciting. The album art CD. Mm-hmm. Where did it come from?
Well, the cover is a piece of vintage fabric that I was gifted. People always give me weird clothes and stuff, and it's awesome because, like, yeah, most of the time I like it. Sometimes it's just like, you just picked that because it was the weirdest thing in the store. But people see things and they bring them to me because I think they would like to wear it themselves and they don't have whatever, right? So I got this big stack of vintage fabric from a lady one time, and it's a picture of that. And then on the inside is a painting that I did, and it was cool. They were able to lift all my handwriting from my notebook, so it really kept, like, it's very the me-est thing. Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
It's just something that I have hanging on my wall, you know what I mean? And now everybody can have it.
Mm-hmm. I remember when we were doing the interview with the psychics, you were saying how you wear some elaborate costumes in your own stage. Is that still going to be a thing with this project?
Oh, yeah. Not elaborate, like, outer space, but, like, vintage. I want to look like, you know, the 70s, the 60s, right? And the cool thing is, like, all my band is very up for letting me dress them. And most of them are about the same size as me. So, like, my whole wardrobe is getting worn and I get to, like, dress everybody and they're all fine with it. So, like, it's probably the most, like, cohesive. Because psychics, we had our costumes and sometimes we kind of matched, but we all had, like, strong idea of what we wanted to look like. Whereas these guys are, like, dress me.
You're
and
I'm charge.
Like, sweet.
All the control.
You look so much better in my man dress shirts than I do, you know?
Right. For sure. I remember, yeah, and I learned about the psychics. I got, like, a little fabric, piece of fabric.
Oh,
with
yeah.
This, like, someone handed it to me when I was doing an interview. You're like, yeah, you got to interview these guys.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I guess that's a, that giant pile of fabric.
Yeah. We did patches. I had made a jumpsuit out of that material. And then there was, like, scraps left over, right? So I was like, what am I going to do with all these little strips? And made patches for people. And it's so funny to see, like, say, like, these punk rock guys with their, like, patch vest. And then they have, like, this flower paisley psychics patch on there. It really stands out amongst all the, like, you know,
badges.
What metal band logos look like.
Oh, I love that. Oh, maybe I should make patches. Just
it's
do that.
Easy. It's very fun.
Right. How does someone make a patch?
I just cut fabric and painted my name on it.
with fabric paint, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah. So then, actually, like, the thing is with patches is they aren't going to get washed as heavily as other things, especially these guys put them on their stinky jackets and all that stuff, right?
Right.
So, like, and I always thought, like, when I was painting and I got paint on my clothes that it stained, right? So I thought, well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Just paint and it stains, right?
Right. And so how do you approach people? So
no
surprise
problem.
I'm talking about this, but does a just like, hey, here's a patch, can you put it on your jacket? Or like,
well,
you...
We had them for sale for the longest time and people would buy them, and I'm finally all out of them now after so many years, but all of our merch was homemade, and people are a lot quicker to invest in a homemade patch than a homemade t-shirt, I think.
Right. Yeah.
But I got real t-shirts this time.
That's awesome.
It felt so good to not do all that work.
Right. What's on those t-shirts?
The fabric from the album cover, and then my name like painted in my writing, so it still has the vibe of like handmade, but it was screen printed.
Oh, that's amazing. You're moving up.
Yes, like, exactly. It was just like
legit now.
I can't do that. I can't do all that work anymore. I need to play more music.
How long would it take you to make DIY shirts?
Oh gosh, each one would take half an hour probably, right? And it's not like you can sell it for $1 million, right?
Right.
You still have to sell it for the same as a whatever, and it's on a thrift store shirt. So the thing is, the work that would go into it was so much more than a screen printed shirt, but they look like they got made at summer camp, so you can't sell them for very much, right?
Right. Oh man, I've thought about like doing something like that. Like I know like Micah Ernberg does that too. He gets their shirts, and then.
Surprising, like people are fine to, they just want to support you, you know what I mean? Like it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be fancy,
right? And as long as you care about it and you put the effort in,
yeah,
people will see that.
Yeah. And one of a kind like is kind of cool too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Well, I really enjoyed getting you on the show again.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. I liked picking your brain about your lyrics and
thank you
and stuff. So thanks for coming. You're welcome back anytime.
Yay.
So everyone is listening. If you are convinced now, which I'm sure you are, you want to go see Paige live. Her CD release party of Zero Thought is on June 7th.
This Friday. At the Cavern.
The Cavern. $10 at the door. Easy.
Yeah.
Right. Doors are at 9:30. I'm guessing shows at 10.
Yeah.
Whenever
Cavern usually rolls at about 10:30.
Nice. And you're gonna have Man Candy and Ponima.
Yeah.
Ponima. So sorry if I'm saying it wrong.
Yeah, word.
Come on the show and correct me. There we go. Awesome. I hope all the best for you. I look forward to
thank you.
What you do.
So, thank you.
Thanks everyone for listening to the Winnipeg Music Project on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Ashley Bianyaz, your host. I'm here with Paige Drobot.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. And now you're listening to Get Over It from Zero Thought.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Winnipeg Music Project. For more on local music makers, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Music by Will and Art from Collector Studio, and a big thank you to UMFM for making this show possible.